Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
I'm joined now by Martin Hayden, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and Fine Gael TD for Kildare South. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, your government colleague Charlie McConlogue was on Morning Ireland today, and he was saying there that retaining the nitrates derogation is his number one priority. Is that the same for you?
Absolutely. Yesterday, we welcomed over officials from the Environment Commission, whom we'd invited to come over and to visit Ireland for a few days, visit Irish farms and see the work that's taking place by Irish farmers, the length and breadth of this country, to reverse the trend on water quality. We visited a farm outside Monasterevin, and to see it at first hand, and the official said this themselves, rather than reading it about it in an office in Brussels, to stand on a typical dairy farm in South Kildare on the edge of Monasterevin, where, you know, the main businesses in Monasterevin are directly linked to that agricultural activity, whether it's machinery sales, whether it's the local co-op that have made a big investment in Monasterevin. So it's not just about family holding, and Stephen and Anya were the farmers. Stephen and his wife Anya were the farmers, with their son was there, their parents are there. It's an intergenerational farm, and you see at first hand the measures that that farm, typically like so many across the country, are taking to improve water quality.
Okay, so can I ask you what the aim of that is? I mean, that visit and those site visits, are you saying, give us more time and we'll show you the results on water quality? Because we haven't kept our side of the bargain, have we, on the water quality side? We said, give us the derogation, we'll improve water quality. We haven't done that. So are you saying to them this week, we need more time?
So what is really clear is we have a good standard of water quality by European comparisons in Ireland, but the trend has been deteriorating.
Yeah, no, we've had no improvement in water quality.
And we do need to reverse that trend in the context of asking for this special exemption to have a higher stocking density on our land than other countries have. But the reason we've had that in the past is because Ireland has a unique system that's very different to the rest of Europe. Our cattle graze on grass at least 240 days of the year. Their diet is 95% grass-based. And it is a very different model. And we don't have the alternative sources for manure from a house system that there would be on the continental countries, like a high level of anaerobic digestion or other structures like that. So we've had this special dispensation for a number of years for very good reason. And every time we get it, it's reviewed every couple of years, and the current one we have ends in 2025, and we are preparing the ground already for our application to continue with derogation into 26 and beyond. Mm-hmm. And those derogations we've had in the past have had a number of conditions to them, and what we want to demonstrate there is how that has benefited, and how, you know, the 7,000 farmers in derogation in Ireland are actually leaders in terms of early adopters of new technology, of new measures.
But can you come back specifically to the water quality issue? Because that was our side of the bargain. We haven't managed to keep it. And are we saying to the EU, bear with us? Are you asking for more time on water quality specifically?
It is to make sure that the Commission understand exactly the efforts that are being made. And obviously time is key when you bring in new measures and farmers adopt new practices. There is a lag in terms of that impact on water quality. But yesterday on the farm we were on in Kildare, we saw that farmer and his family have invested over €100,000 in measures in recent years to improve slurry storage, to have that equipment that is low emission slurry spreading and other such measures. It is only by having a financially viable farm can the farmers be in that space where they can make that type of investment. And, you know, very often we hear about this binary element of, well, are farmers going to save the environment or are they going to produce food? Farming can do more than one thing at once. And we very much clearly demonstrated that, you know, they met with the water quality group afterwards yesterday. The farm visit was only one element of it. They're visiting catchment programs today, where they will see firsthand the measuring, the level of detailed work that we can trace back to where our water quality is and where farmers need direct support through the asset
program. But it's only when our derogation is under threat that we seem to take action on water quality. Like all of those measures that you've just outlined there, they should have happened a number of years ago, 3 to 5 years ago.
So it's not that we only do it. It's to highlight the fact that the derogation and farmers who apply for the derogation apply to a higher standard of farming. They actually commit to invest more and to take more of these measures that has the bigger impact to avail of the higher stocking density. So it's to demonstrate actually the very positive role that derogation has played in the past. And, you know, this is part of an ongoing dialogue. We had the commissioner here last year. We were really keen that the commission officials would come over, because like us politicians, we come and go, but the officials tend to be there for longer. Mm-hmm. And they will be the key decision makers as we navigate this process to try and retain the derogation, but also to tell that story of the economic impact that has, and also the knock-on impact, let's say, on other sectors of agriculture like tillage. You know, if dairy farmers didn't have this and needed more land, that would have a knock-on impact as well.
Listen, you mentioned the commission. We have a new commission now, a new parliament. Are you anticipating what farmers might consider a more farm-friendly Europe this time around? Because it started badly with Ursula von der Leyen during her first term, didn't it?
Look, I do think we're facing into a reset of relations. And, you know, I think there's been an understanding in Europe of the importance of CAP, and maybe there had been a complacency there. You know, if you look at the timing of the Ukraine crisis, obviously it was horrendous that Russia did its legal invasion at any stage. But when it happened, a lot of the groundwork for that CAP had already been in place, and a bit of complacency in other European partner countries around the importance of food security, food safety, and the CAP, I felt was in place. It wasn't in place from Ireland. Mm-hmm. But what we see now is a better recognition of that. And if you consider where the EU started from as a peace project, this was one of its founding pillars, the common agricultural policy around food security. And just like the Ukrainian crisis has highlighted our vulnerabilities in terms of energy security, a greater focus in this space that, you know, people recognise we support farmers to produce the food we produce in Europe, because we produce it more sustainably than probably anywhere else in the world. And those high level of standards mean that we do that really well. But we also have the huge challenge coming down the line that we have to produce, you know, food for a growing global population, 10 billion people by 2050. And we're going to have to do that with less inputs, less the impact on the environment. We can do that through innovation and research, and we're working very heavily in that area. But this is very much a partnership, and I do think the reset in the relationships underlying that is...
We can do that, you say, by changing practices and innovating, but not, according to you, by reducing the herd, the national herd in Ireland.
But I've just said we are facing into a situation globally where we are going to see a really significant rise in our global population.
Yeah, but so it's not Ireland's job to feed those people with beef, is it?
No, but it's like we are a long way away from the subsistence farming in Ireland, where we just produce enough food for ourselves and let everyone else go be fine. Like when Ireland did that in the 1950s and 60s, we were a really poor country. You know, there's the economic benefit to our country from producing that food. And let's be honest, you know, the food we produce in Ireland from our pasture-based system is produced more sustainably than most other parts of the world. So. Mm. We absolutely, you know, in recent years have reduced our emission profile in the production of that food. We have reversed that trend. I've no doubt we'll do the same with the level of investment we're doing around our water quality.
But ultimately,
farmers' first role is producing the top quality, safe, nutritious food that's needed.
Listen, there's a poll in the Examiner today, and it shows that 7 out of 10 rural voters believe climate change is happening and they're worried about its impact. But interestingly, the majority don't want to pay higher taxes to tackle it. Now, do you accept that you're going to have to dole out hard medicine to people who can see the changes happening? Hard medicine on climate change, but those people don't want to accept them. That's going to be a tough job for any government to do.
Well, we're living the reality of climate change when we see extreme weather events. And I would concur with that people see that and they feel that. And there are a number of measures that can take. And if you look in the area of agriculture, there's actually some interventions you can take that can that are changing in practices that can actually help a farmer's bottom line. Chagas have a MAC curve, which effectively tells us where we'll get to in terms of reducing our emissions. 60% of the new innovations that we need farmers to adopt can actually save them money, like reducing their dependency on artificial fertilizer, using elements like growing special grasses called multi-species swards. So, you know, I know your question is more broader than that across society in general. It is a challenge. I've yet to meet any voter that wants to pay more taxes for anything. So that's not ever going to be a popular thing to be doing. But a lot of the time, it's not necessarily even about money. It's about lifestyle. It's about changing our approach to things, and also an awareness.
Awareness. Interesting that you should bring that up, because that survey also found that only a quarter of those surveyed think that farmers are responsible for climate change.
Oh, absolutely. Like, sorry, I thought your question was broader about a whole of society kind of question.
It's about rural voters specifically, yeah, as part of the survey.
There is no doubt the farmers are the solution, are part of the solution here. And that was very much what we demonstrated on the farm to the officials from Brussels yesterday, is that by supporting farmers here and making sure that the farm income is viable, they are the best placed people to adopt new measures that can enhance our biodiversity, can reverse trends around water quality. So this is very much a partnership approach, and we need people in these areas. Like, you know, if you were to close down agriculture in this country or just produce enough food for ourselves, and we had land abandonment in parts of the west of Ireland and other parts of the country, that certainly wouldn't be good for the environment or good for our economy or good for people's quality of lives either, or balanced regional development.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is we drive on with beef production despite what we know about its impact on climate change.
So Claire, they're your words, not mine. What I say is farmers can do more than one thing at once. We produce safe, quality, nutritious food that's trusted at home and abroad, and we will continue to do that. It's something we take great pride in Ireland, but we can do that while also, you know, reducing our emissions, having a better impact on our environment. And I would say to you, in the context of that growing global population, you could say it's not our responsibility to feed others, but you do need to ask that responsible question. If we don't produce it, where does it come from? And what is the emissions profile or the impact in the environment when it's produced somewhere else? So it's not about us closing up shop. It's about us doing it better into the future. And we do that through innovation. And we've constantly innovated. We farm totally differently now than we even did 20 years ago. And I've no doubt when the next generation are farming in 20 years' time, it'll be very different again. But at its core, Irish farmers will still continue to produce that top quality food.
All right. Minister of State Martin Hayden, thank you for joining us on the programme.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.